the book of Habakkuk. Good to see this good number. House of the Lord. I tell you, I certainly appreciate Brother Biddle. He is such a mentor and an example and a standard and for us to follow. I tell you, I appreciate him. Just gets better. And he doesn't change. That's a great testimony. Doesn't change. Habakkuk chapter number 3, I want to direct your attention to the burden of my heart. Verse number 17. I don't have time to really go back and deal with the book itself and some key points and key things about the book of Habakkuk, but verse number 17, he comes to the end of the book, the conclusion of the book. And in the book, there's quite a few negative things that are recorded. And you would not think after writing and recording several negative things that he would end the book as he does. But the end of the book is not natural, it is spiritual. And God, and through the Holy Spirit, can enable us to respond to the negative in a positive way. Verse number 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Not one positive thing. Not one positive thing stated in that verse. In fact, he gives a gloomy, detailed description of his national economic standings. And when the economic was turning down and prosperity seemingly was going out the window, yet we find Habakkuk by faith being positive. Because he follows up, if you'll notice, verse 17 does not end with a period. So the thought continues and he comes quickly. He didn't want to give any space after verse 17 for the devil to get in there and put a butt in there. So he quickly come in on the tail end of that negative verse and says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. And I want you to pray for me, please. I certainly need God's touch here tonight. Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. And we had asked God for that divine unction that makes preaching powerful, effective, and fruitful. Lord, I am not here, Lord, to be seen. I am not here for reputation. Dear Lord, I want to share your heart and my heart to this congregation. Lord, please help me tonight, I pray. Make it easy. Give us clarity of thought and power to preach and anointing that'll bring glory to your name. Stir our hearts, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. If we're not careful, we will get so focused on verse 17 that we will not do verse 18 or even realize there's a verse 19. I've noticed verse 17 deals with some negative things, but that's not the end of the chapter. There is a verse 18 and a verse number 19. And I noticed that in verse 17, it's very plain that he's expressing hard times. Oh, can we not relate to that in our day? And I'm fearful that it's going to get harder. The times economically and politically and nationally and financially and in several other ways is probably going to get harder. And that's what's it talked about in verse 17. And then I noticed verse 18. And then I looked at verse 19 and something just stuck out to my heart. Verse number 19, here's what he said. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And notice this. He will make me to walk upon my high places. Now wait a minute. High places. Just two short verses after hard places. I want to preach if the Lord help me on high times in hard times. If we're not careful, we'll focus on verse 17 at the hard times and we'll get hard with it. We'll get down. We'll get defeated. We're living in the most sad, gloomy Christianity that's ever been on the face of the earth. And that ought not to be. That's not the will of God. Oh, no. There's high places. There's high times to be experienced in hard times. In chapter number 1, we find that Habakkuk is a troubled prophet. In chapter 2, he is a taunt prophet. In chapter 3, he is a triumphant prophet. Chapter 1, he's worrying. I can relate. Amen. Chapter 2, he's watching. Chapter 3, he's worshiping. Amen. Chapter number 1, he's burdened. Chapter 2, he's beholding. And chapter 3, he's blessing. Well, I want to tell you, we can note some things out of these verses in the close of chapter 3 and the close of the book that I think would be interesting. In fact, verse number 1, we find our problems. Anybody got any problems? Anybody got any problems? Anybody going through any hard times? We'd probably be shocked at what's represented right here in this building. We probably would be blown away if we knew what hardships and adversities and afflictions that are represented right here. We'd probably be shocked if we knew who come to this meeting with the attitude, God, if you don't help me, I don't know how much more I can stand. Verse 17 deals with our problems. Verse number 18, my friend, deals with our praise. And verse number 19 deals with our path. Verse number 17 deals with what the enemy can do. Yes. Verse number 18 deals with what I can do. Yes. Verse number 19 deals with what God can do. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Verse number 17 shows the realness of the enemy. Yes. Verse 18 shows the realness of the Christian. Yes. Verse number 19 shows the realness of God. Amen. Verse number 17 shows my want or my woe and my war. Verse 18 shows my worship. And verse number 19 deals with my walk. Verse number 17 deals with my adversity. Verse 18 deals with my attitude. Verse 19 deals with my altitude. Verse number 17 deals with my complication that comes from my foe. Verse number 18 deals with my determination that comes from my faith. And verse number 19 deals with my elevation that comes from my Father. Verse number 17 deals with my hard times. Verse 18 deals with my happy times. Verse number 19 deals with my high times. I'm glad to report to you here this evening that there is high times in hard times. There's no doubt about it tonight that the devil, the enemy of our soul, has a plan for hard times. He has a plot in hard times. He desires for the hard times to make you hard, to get you sad, to get you down, to get you defeated, to get you discouraged, to get you depressed. I want to tell you, if that's not so, and if that is not successful, then why is it that many testimonies have been silenced at the house of God for one reason? Hard times. People drags in the house of God almost like they think they're excused. Well, preacher, if you knew what I was going through, you would understand. Well, I might understand, but does the Lord? But does the Lord understand? I want to tell you, God has got a plan. When hard times come, He wants to take you higher. The world says, get high. God says, go high. Amen. How many people, when hard times hit, they turn to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and entertainment and pleasure, and such as that, to try to soothe the hurting of their soul in hard times? But God is saying, try me, trust me. That's the theme of the book of Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. He's saying, trust me without explanation. You don't have need an explanation. Just trust me. That's what God is saying. That's what God is saying. There's some dangers. Let me give this to you. This is just kind of a little sideline thought here, but God wants me to give it to you tonight. There's some dangers in hard times. You better be on high alert when hard times come. Amen. You better not trust yourself in hard times, or in any other times for that matter. Have no confidence in the flesh. But here's four things I want you to write down that you're in danger of when hard times hit. This is not the message, but I believe God wants me to give it to you. Number one, the danger of turning away from God. How many does that? Turn away from the Father. Allow their spiritual life to decline. Your confidence in God to weaken. Your desire to please Him to fade into the shadows of life. Bible goes unread, prayers go unprayed, church becomes boring. If you're not careful in hard times, you run a danger of turning against or turning away from your Father. A second truth that I note is a danger when hard times come is not only turning away from your Father, but number two, turning to the flesh. Turning to the flesh, be led by it, lean on it. Live for it. I'm going to tell you, that's the truth, isn't it? Self gets bigger. Spirituality gets smaller. Flesh seeks gratification of itself. Number three, a third danger, and I believe God wants me to give this to you, and we're going to go on and pick up our thought. I want to tell you, there's a third danger, not only turning away from your Father and turning to the flesh, but number three, turning on your family. Turning on your family. Turning on your family. Hard times can influence you to hurt people that loves you the most. We're prone to look for someone to blame or to sacrifice when we have hard times to hit us. I'm so hurt in hard times, I will look to hurt someone else for my relief. Pressures has turned homes into war zones, destroyed marriages, and so on and so forth. But there's a danger of turning on your family. And then number four, there's a danger of turning off your faith. Well, how many people's lost confidence in God? Are you listening? But I want to just mention some things about this high time and hard times. First of all, I want you to notice with me in verse number 18, the first thing I want you to notice is the high time in the hard times, the high time of exaltation of God. The high time of exaltation of God. Why, we've become such sunshine Christian. We've become such summertime, springtime Christians that when wintertime comes and hard times come and difficulties come, that we just don't know how to handle it. And one of the first things to go from our lips is praise. We turn our shouting away and begin to pout. And we begin to whine, and we begin to complain, and we begin to murmur. I want to tell you, those things still displeases God. Oh, help us, Lord. Amen. But there is the high time of exaltation of God. I'll tell you, I love to hear people praise the Lord. But none is more meaningful than when I know they're testifying out of the furnace. I know they're testifying out of the valley. I know they're testifying underneath a burden. Oh, isn't that meaningful? Isn't that meaningful? Oh, Brother Ed Gillum, he's in glory now. He'd come to church as a cancer victim, and he was so weak many times he couldn't hardly even walk inside the church. And he'd get in, and several times, Brother Raines, he'd lay down on the pew. He'd be so weak and frail, and you know, and he'd lay down. But you know what? Not once did he ever complain. Not once did he ever take a moment of our church service and give a doctor's report, but I've seen him just stick that hand up in the air, and he said, I want everybody to know that God is still good. Oh, everywhere you look in his life, there was hard times. He had a doctor's report that said hard times. He looked at his wife that he was soon to leave, and his son that he was soon to leave behind. Hard times, but he said, I want everybody to know God is good. God is good. A preacher friend of mine, in fact, he got saved under me, under our ministry, and called to preach under our ministry, and preaching over in just outside of Greenville, Tennessee. And he preached a tremendous message a year or so ago down in Welcome Baptist Church in Union, out of Acts chapter number 16. Paul and Silas with their backs bleeding, and how they began to praise God at midnight. And he preached this message, worshiping beyond your wounds. I'm telling you, though they were wounded, the hard times was there. They had the blood to show it, the bruises to show it. But I want to tell you, they didn't choose to talk about the shackles, but they rather chose to talk about the Savior. And they praised him, and they blessed him, and they glorified him. And the Bible did say, and the prisoners heard them. I shared that message thought with a preacher down in Waynesville, North Carolina. Goes to Brother Banks' church. And I shared, just told him about it a little bit. And he said, oh, mercy. Oh, that's wonderful. And that next Sunday morning, I'm going somewhere, listen. That next Sunday morning, I believe it was, Brother Banks asked him to preach that night service. And he said the only thing that was on his heart was that worshiping beyond your wounds. And he said he got up and just for about 10 or 15 minutes just talked about that thought, you know. Little did he know who was in the service. There was a family in the service. He's telling me about it, and I'm telling you, I about had a spell. How God is able to work. There was a family in the service that was coming from an absolute disaster down in North Carolina. Their daughter had committed suicide or gotten killed. I believe it was suicide, but not certain on that, but she died. And they was just getting away. They was trying to make their way, the mom and the dad, to Pigeon Forge up in that area, just to get away. Well, as they got close to Waynesville, their car started giving them trouble. And he said, you know, he said, let's go to Bible Baptist Church. We're not going to be able to make our destination. Let's go there. And so they went there and they sat down, and he and they didn't know, the preacher that was preaching didn't know nothing. In fact, nobody in the church knew anything about that disaster. And he talked about worshiping beyond your wounds. And that father at the end of that service stood up on top of the pew with tears running down his face and told what had happened in his life and in his home. But he said, I want to right here and now purpose that I'm going to worship and praise God in spite of my wounds. Oh, we need to go high with exaltation when it's hard, when it's hard, when it's difficult. Bless him. What was it David said? David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, God, help us to know that attitude and altitude is a matter of choice, not circumstances. Oh, are you listening? Some have lost investments and possessions and jobs and such as that. They've give up, quit, left church, not blame God with it. Some even attempting suicide over it because of losing the possession. Boy, when they sung that song a while ago, the men did, I bet they can't take my rock. Oh, they can take this, that, and the other, but they can't take my rock. Hallelujah. I about had a spell back there, amen. I want to tell you, I saw a church sign one time. It says, don't give up, look up. Amen. Don't give up in hard times. Don't lose your praise and your shout and your worship. God's worthy. Worthy at all times. Amen. We just a short few days ago buried my oldest church member, Miss Stapleton, 98 years old. And she'd been bedfast for over a year. Very active prayer warrior, loved God. And I'd go in there, and there she would lay in that bed, probably didn't weigh 70, 80 pounds. And she'd look at me sometimes. I'd go in to bless her. I'd go in to encourage her. I'd go in to, you know, to edify her and pick her up, you know. Yeah. And she'd look at me and she'd say, "Preacher, look up, for there's nothing down." Look out, preacher, there's nothing down. And I thought, my soul, I should be telling you that. You're laying there looking at the ceiling, and that's not her. She's active, or was active. Of course, she still is active now. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. High times of exaltation. Well, what do we find in our scripture here? We find that we can exalt him because he is my sovereign. He is my sovereign, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He is my sovereign. Verse 17 magnifies the land. Verse 18 magnifies the Lord. Verse 17 exalts what you have or used to have. Verse 18 exalts who has you. What's more meaningful? What's more meaningful to you? What you have or don't have? Or who's got you? Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Amen. Oh, yes. He magnified the fact that he was his sovereign. He magnified the sovereign that was before the problem. That was better than the problem. That was bigger than the problem. Oh, I like this. Chapter 3 starts out with Habakkuk praying, but it ends up with Habakkuk praising. I believe if we'd pray more, we'd probably praise more. Amen? No doubt about that. I like it, don't you? You may lose some things. Economic crash could take some things, but it can't take the best thing. Hallelujah for my sovereign, the Lord. Amen? The second thing is, he's my salvation. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will join the God of my salvation. It's his. He's the one that's in charge of it. He's the one that performed it. He's the one that purchased it. He's the one that planned it. And he's the one that keeps it. Amen. Oh, yes. I'm talking about in hard times. Hard times. Habakkuk made the deliberate choice. Made the deliberate choice. He said, "I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to go high. I'm going to have the high time of exaltation. He's my sovereign. He's my salvation. He's my strength. The Lord God is my strength," verse 19. Oh, God wants to use hard times as an opportunity to display and demonstrate his strength. Well, there's several verses you can read on that down in the book of Psalms. I like this one in the book of 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He's my strength. Let me deal with this second truth to be our final thought. Not only we need to go higher, have the high time of exaltation, but verse 19, we need to have the high time of experience. Not the exalt. Verse 18 deals with the high time of exaltation of God. But verse 19 has to do with the high time of experience from God. You know what our churches is lacking? I know you might say a lot of things, preacher, and it is. One great thing we're missing and we're lacking, and that's experiencing God. Testimony comes out of experience. That's why most people do not praise the Lord and testify, is because they haven't experienced God. They haven't experienced God. Amen. I think it's very interesting on this point right here that in verse 19, in the context of hard times, he draws attention to their feet. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hind's feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Do you notice that? He draws attention to their feet. When there's hard times, people wants to know how are you walking. God wants to know that your victory is walking in your walk. Amen. Amen. That's right. Even though there's hard times, we can still experience high times. Amen. Don't let the devil convince you that verse 17 is the end of the book and the end of the chapter. You need to tell him, oh no, friend, there's a verse 18 and there's a verse 19. When the devil whispers in your ears and he magnifies the hard times, you be sure you put an 18 and 19 with it. You make sure you put a verse 18 and 19 with it. I like this. If verse number 17 is the grave, verse 18 would be the resurrection. If verse 18 is the grave of trouble and hardship, you make sure you kick the other end out of it and make it a sweet passage, amen, for to praise the Lord with. Oh, yes. Just tell the devil when he reads you verse 17, God ain't done yet. God's not through writing yet. God's not through speaking yet. He's going to give another verse, amen. He's going to give two more verses, in fact. Hallelujah. Well, I like this right here. I'm talking about the experience of God. If you'll notice in verse number 18, there's two times Habakkuk said, I will rejoice. I will joy. That's personal and that's purpose. I will. But verse number 19 is followed by two he wills. Hey man, he will make my feet like hind's feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Are you listening? Oh yes. See, we're wanting the he wills without my wills. The I wills. Oh, that's right. Amen. But there's a connection between your walk and your worship. As your worship goes, so goes your walk. But I want to give you this right here and I'll be done. He'll make my feet like hind's feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. High times and hard times. Have you ever thought about the hind's feet? Brought that illustration in. He brought that example in. Hind's feet. You and I probably could relate to that if we saw anything to do with a mountain goat. I've seen, and I'm sure as many of you have, we've seen some shows or whatever. We saw them run up the side of the mountain, and I thought, what are they even standing on? And I mean, just inches beside of them, there's thousands of feet that they could fall, but you never see them nervous. You never see them act like they're afraid. In fact, they act like, this is just my habitat. I belong here. I was made for this. God said, I'll make your feet like hind's feet. I'll make you to walk upon your high places. Oh, bless the Lord. And when I thought about the hind's feet, I thought about, number one, the hind's feet speaks of stabilization. Oh, they're sure-footed. And I thought about the hind's feet. Don't take much to stand on. They're formed and they're made to grip a little. Stand on a little. Just a little word, just a little prayer, little promise, just a little touch, just a little fellowship. We'll stand. We'll stand on it. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, that's right. Well, I thought about this, about stabilization, about the hind's feet. Did you know that this verse of scripture that he hath made my feet like hind's feet, did you know that that's somewhere else found in the scripture? It's found in Psalms 18. It's found in Psalms chapter number 18. David, writing about some hard times in his life, made that same statement. He'll make my feet like hinds' feet. And now Habakkuk, many years later, saying the same thing. You know what he does? I guarantee you, Habakkuk knew about Psalms 18. Habakkuk drew strength from a past generation. He found where another had went high in their hard times. And he said, I want that, Lord. Oh, I want to be stable. I don't want to be wobble on the shaft. I don't want to be fickle. I want to be stable. But not only does it speak of stabilization, but he said, I'm going to make your feet to be like hinds' feet, and I'm going to make you to walk upon your high places, which speaks of observation. You can't see much down low, but the higher you go, the further you can see. Oh, the devil wants to keep you low. The devil wants to keep you, and the enemy wants to keep you on their level. But oh, you've been made to have feet like hinds' feet, and they're made to climb. And they're made to walk on a little, and the devil may think he's got you, but oh, start climbing. Start climbing. And guess what? He won't follow. Amen. There is make the stabilization, there's the observation, and then there's the elevation. Amen. Go higher. Amen. He hath made your feet like hinds' feet. Amen. Oh, yes. Go higher. God will help you to do it. Amen. Amen.